Let's stand together and sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
If you brought a Bible, turn to Romans 10. That's Romans chapter 10. And we started preaching in the book of Romans a few months ago. Somebody chided me and said, when you going to get out of the book of Romans? Well, if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not. You can take Romans and preach on it forever. My dad, who was an evangelist, had a preacher friend in Toronto. He's a wonderful preacher. But every Sunday night, he would preach on the return of the Lord. Every Sunday night for 50 years. And you learn something new every Sunday night. You won't pick this book up and read it and not find something new. There isn't a man alive who understands it all. There are some who read it better and understand it more in pieces, but there is no one who knows the fullness of the Word of God living. You can bring Ken back, you can bring Billy Graham, you can bring Dr. Geisler, you can bring Rabbi Zacharias, you can bring all of them, doesn't matter. And somebody else will get up and say, boom, oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, I know you didn't see. So we try to inform you the best we can with what knowledge we have. And in the day goes by, a Saturday, that I don't say, Lord, as I go to sleep, guide my reins, that's your brain, your mind, guide my reins in the night season. The Bible says to do that, and which means to tell me what you would have me say. And please, as I preach, keep me from saying what I shouldn't and make me say what I should. There are things I don't understand that I'm sure that you will reveal as I preach. The reason I know that, I've had it done too many times. Just done too many times. Until you become a preacher and get a little deeper into what's going on, you'll hear from God. You won't hear audible voices. Those who do on TV change the dial. they're lying to you. But you'll be driving along and you've got your little notes ready and prepared yourself to preach from what you know. And I'm all ready to preach a message, and a little voice inside says, not today. I said, wait a minute. I'm already at Krispy Kreme. What do you mean, not today? I've been a week getting this ready. And he said, not today. And he'll show you something else to preach. And you don't know why. But I suspect the why is he's got somebody in that congregation who needs to hear what he wanted preached instead of what you wanted preached.
That's right.
And it may be the last time or the first time that they really hear the gospel as it is. And it means the difference of going to heaven and going to hell. and they don't like churches like us. I mean, by the way, just for fun, I called Marilyn Hatchell. We are friends, the mayor. And she said, Beaver, oh my goodness, said, something funny happened. And I said, what? She said, a church called and wants to lease this stage out here every Sunday morning. And she said, I was quick to tell them, I'm sorry, we already have a church at that location. If you need to go to church, get down there to church, lost and found. Have a nice day. That ain't going to happen. Can you imagine the nerve of somebody doing that? Oh, we welcome them, because if they come, we'll be on the front row saying, yeah, no, excuse me, false doctrine. They won't stay long. Okay. I don't mean to be hateful. I was born that way. All right. Lord, forgive us and lead us as we preach. Turn to Romans 10, please. 1 through 11 is where we will be, and we will read and expound the scriptures. I'm what you call an expository preacher. People will say, well, I know, notice you don't have notes. I say, yes, I do. It's called the Bible. I didn't write the notes. Somebody else did. I just expound them. I tell you what it means according to things we have studied in conjunction as to what we read there. So, Ann, bless her heart, somebody told her one time, says, your husband is an expository preacher? And she said, oh, no, he wouldn't do that. She said, but that was years ago, wasn't it, honey? And you weren't but six. And I can't do what I do without Ann and without you folks. And we make quite an impact in this area. We've got a lot of people brought to Christ because we're here. Isn't that wonderful? And you folks watching on webcam, we're so glad you join us. We are their church. They stay at home, and I got some folks live in the mountains. I love them. They're from East Tennessee. They always sit right there when they come. And they say, he said, we live so far back in the woods, we look down on the Indians. I said, all right. And they'll come down here, and we'll preach. And at the end of every service, his wife is crying. She's just bawling, sitting right there. And she loves the Lord Jesus. And I hope you do too. So we shall pray, and then we'll read, and then we shall expound the scriptures. A gracious and loving how Heavenly Father, how great it is that we're even allowed to be in your presence, that we're allowed to approach you. We don't have a foreign God, some far way off. You've told us that wherever we are, you're there. That wherever two or three gather together in your name, that you're present. We can't see you, of course, but we know you mean that the Holy Spirit of God is among us, working among minds and hearts as we preach the word. And it's not so much as what I preach, but it's what you let people hear. And we pray that if there be one here who has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, has never repented of their sins, that this morning they will do that. They will understand that time is short. Your return is near. Our time of leaving the earth, as folks my age and others here, we know our next big event is to be in your presence. And Lord Jesus, if you would, bless us and keep us and help us preach the gospel, that by all means some be saved. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.
Amen.
So we find in chapter 10 of Romans, the Apostle Paul. Of course, Paul was a Jew's Jew. He gives his Jewish lineage in the scriptures and tells you, he more or less, as we say, you think you is you? Listen to this. I was born of Jewish parents. I was born a Pharisee, which is the nitpickers of the Jewish religion. Highly educated, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the great teachers of the day. Went to the University of Tarsus. Had a little orange hat with a white tee on it, and he, cheer up, you'll understand that later. And he was a brilliant man. If were it not for the Apostle Paul, the Western Hemisphere would not be as it is today. You can put it all on the conversion of that one man and what he did with his life, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He just flat couldn't get over it. Hope you're the same way, because I don't understand how anybody can come down here and look at that ocean or look at the stars at night or just look at the people around here, what we do, and understand there is a God. There only not is a God. He is perfect. And this morning we preach on the perfectness of God. The righteousness is what Paul is talking about here. I was talking to Mayor Hatchell, and I said, you know, if you let the church meet out here, you know the atheists are going to stand up and raise Cain about it, both of them. And, you know, and I said, do you know the definition of insanity, Marilyn? And she said, what is it? And I said, the definition of insanity, being totally crazy, is spending your life fighting something that you don't believe exists. You can't get dumber than that. That's bottom line, see. So it's no use to argue. I used to teach salesmanship. I've trained 10,000 salesmen. And I said, look, don't argue with somebody after you've presented your case and answered a couple of objections. If you argue with a fool longer than 2 minutes, there's two fools arguing. Okay? Just state your case, tell what it'll do. If they don't have sense enough to agree, walk on. See? And by the way, the Bible teaches that. After two admonitions, if a man won't accept Christ, shoot, go to somebody new. He had his chance. Okay? So what does Brother Paul says? He says, brethren, talking to the Jew, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now this was Paul the Apostle. This is the man who, as we say, changed the Western world or made it is what it is because of the gospel. He was looked down on by the Jews. Even today, they say, yes, he was a Jew. He was a good Jew. He came from a strict Pharisee family. He kept the law. He was a Jew's Jew. We recognize that. However, somewhere along the line, he went crazy. No, somewhere along the line, he got saved. See, you look at things different. That gorgeous little baby. Where's Granny Trexler? She's back here somewhere. Oh, bless his little heart. I hope you got to see that little baby. But did you know you see a baby differently when you're a Christian than any other time? Yet you will see things in that baby that the average person cannot see. Not my baby, not kin to me. But you look at that little baby and you see the work of God. How can you not? I knew of an atheist one time. He was an intelligent man as far as man's intelligence goes, and he had a baby. Him and his family had a baby, and he was holding the baby, and you know how you play with them and make yourself. We all are fools when it comes to babies, you know. I know the babies get together and say, do you understand what those idiots are talking about? Saying, boo, boo, blah, 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 blah. I have no idea what they're saying. But babies make fools of us all, a wise man once said. But when you see that little baby, this atheist saw him and was considering eyesight, taste, all the senses. And the little baby responded when he'd speak to him. And because of the hearing, the ability to hear, that atheist said, I've got to be wrong. I have got to be wrong. The miracle of hearing. Have you ever thought about the miracle of hearing? Did you know that there's three bones in each ear that don't grow? And you say, why? Because God's smarter than we are. He'd let your arms grow, your teeth grow, your hair grow. Everything grows except three bones in your ear. Well, why don't they grow? Because if they got larger in proportion to everything else, it'd blow your head up. The sound would. So he's fixed it from the beginning. It can only go and only absorb so much. And I said, what a God. And that's why the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you consider any part of you, and how little babies' hands work. It's just a miracle to me, and I always let them grab a finger because the little hands, they'll grab your finger, and you can't believe the strength of that baby when he holds on to you with one little hand. How did he do that? He's like 4 months old. How did he do that? You can pass him around in a circle to the ladies in here, and they all sweet and smell good and nice and soft, and they'll hold the little baby, and he'll say, he'd get ready to blow up. When he gets back to his mother, he'll settle right down. How does he know the difference? It's amazing what God, if we just look at ourselves, don't do like I do. I get up early in the morning, and I go to get ready, and I look in the mirror, and I'm looking for my teeth to put in, and then I got to put on my hearing aid, and then I got to get my glasses on, and then my hair is going like this, and then I have to brush my teeth over here, and then there I am in my shorts looking at myself, getting ready to take a shower, and saying, well, there he is, made in the image of God. I said, no, that's not what the Bible meant by that. Okay. So Paul had one goal once he got saved, and that was to get his brethren saved, the brethren Jews, to let them understand. He knew they loved Jehovah. He knew they followed the one God. He knew their rituals by heart. He knew all the things to do. But then when he found Christ, he knew that that was the end of the law, that Christ had fulfilled the law, that it was no righteousness, no perfectness, no correctness in the law that could change you, but perfect righteousness is Jesus Christ. He is Christ's righteousness is of God. And man tries to be righteous. Israel was trying to be righteous. I mean, a good rabbi had to memorize 613 laws. Forget 10 commandments. 613 he had to be aware of at all times. Good Jewish rabbis, a few, memorized the entire Old Testament. Now we can imagine things like that, can't we? And these people knew of God, and he had made himself known to Moses, and he had made himself known through the prophets. But what they did not know, that the Messiah, which the Old Testament talked about and told you was coming, came in the form of a baby. It was Jesus. And they missed their day of appointment. How sad. How sad. A lot of Gentiles have done the same thing. They know of Christ, but they don't know Christ. They know that he existed as a human being, but that doesn't get you anywhere. See? Unless you know the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ, and what he did, and that he was all God and all man, which we can't understand. But until you accept that and know that, then you just might as well worship a pineapple, which some people do on the islands of the Pacific. They're seeking righteousness. There's a series going on now. I haven't seen it. I've seen the previews to it where they're exploring different religions of the world and showing what they do, bowing down to this, that, and the other. All of them trying to find righteousness. They'll bow down to an idol. They'll bow down to a priest. They'll bow down to a pope. They'll try to elevate a man to a position of godhood. Not going to happen. Not even going to get close. The righteousness of Christ is of God. Jesus became the perfect man, the correct man, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Buddha's not in the contest. Allah doesn't exist. The Japanese thought Hirohito was God. They elevated him to godhood. Can you imagine such a thing? I remember the Second World War and walking down the streets in Greenville and looking in the jewelry stores, you know, the windows of all the shiny things and all. But during the war, we were taught, of course, to hate Germany and hate Japan. You got to hate your enemy, don't you? And little ladies would have Hirohito and his Japanese imperial outfit bent over, and he was a pincushion. The ladies could stick pins in his rear end. That was their part of displaying their hate for him. And they had Hitler. He had one for Hitler, too. And the ladies would buy them, and then that's where they'd do the sewing and all. And some of you have done that, had a sewing machine, made your own clothes. My mama could do that. She'd go down to the department store windows and look at something. And so I like that. And she'd go in and buy the pattern and go home and make the exact thing they were selling for $100 in the window for $14 of material. I said, how wonderful that she could do that, see? And so we find the righteousness of God is in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He qualified to represent the perfect man. He was the man without sin. He was the truth. And Pilate, bless his heart, do you imagine that when he was trying Jesus and talking to him, he said, the truth. I wonder what the truth is. And the truth standing in front of him. This is what happens to a lot of Gentiles in our time. They claim they're looking for the truth, but they don't go to church looking. They don't look in the Bible. They don't want anything to do with religion. I've invited folks to church, as you do, I'm sure. And they'll say, well, no, I'm not going there. Why? I said, well, I just don't like organized religion. I said, you'll love us. Because we don't follow the pamphlet, you know. So we're not that organized. Well, why don't you do that? Because the Holy Spirit of God may change things and you forgot to print it. Yeah. He said, you really believe that? Believe it. I know it's true. See, seen too many Uncle Johnnies stand up and start walking around the church, rubbing their head, saying it's just too much for me. Dr. Seitler, go on preaching. And John, here comes Johnny, walk around. Every now and then get real excited, go out the door, circle church a couple of times. Then nobody got excited, worried about it, wondered what he was doing. He had got so full of the Spirit of God, he just had to do something. That's good. That's wonderful. We ought to be that way in telling people about Christ. Hey, did you hear what happened Sunday? No. What happened? At the pavilion, man. You ain't been down there? You need to get down there. Now, they got the good news. They'll get rid of your sin. They'll teach you how to sin less. It won't make you sinless, but sin less. They know somebody that paid for all the wrongdoings you did. You better get down there and find out what's going on. You mean you hadn't been? They've been there 17 years. Where you been? I laughingly do that to visitors. I say, hey, how you doing? Good. Glad you came to be with us. Where are you from? Well, we live here. I say, well, where have you been? And they don't want to tell you, but some of them haven't been anywhere. Some of them have been a place where they'll never hear an invitation to be saved. I can't imagine not preaching the gospel and asking somebody if they'd like to receive Christ. Why bother preaching? Why bother being there? Okay. We get people who say, I'm not going down there because that place, they sell beer. Boy, do I have some bad news for you. We need to call Billy Graham. Do you know he didn't have any more sense than to rent the New York Yankee baseball stadium? and stay there a month preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and got 10,000s of people saved. And the New York baseball Yankee Stadium sells more beer than anybody in the United States of America. It's not where you are, my friend, it's who you are. See, two or three are gathered together, as we mentioned earlier. Jesus said, I'll be among you. See, he came. He's here. See, can you see him? Yeah, look at the Christian's heart. They're everywhere. He's here. He's present. His spirit is present. As Bernie asked a while ago, Lord, let your spirit be among us. Absolutely. Well, I don't know about that Holy Spirit of God thing. I know you still with Casper, the friendly ghost. So Paul says in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. A lot of people have a zeal for God and want to find out about God and would like to know about God. And I saw two kids yesterday, and I prayed for them as they were on their bicycles. Two Mormon kids in their little uniform, and they're clean and nice and gentlemanly and educated, and we're not jumping on them for that. But here they are Saturday morning going door to door trying to get you to be a Mormon. Unfortunately, a Mormon is not a Christian. You can't deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and darken heaven's door. Forget about it. Well, I didn't know that. You know it now. You know it now. You mean Jesus was God? No, I mean Jesus is God. How can you call the Lord Jesus Christ a liar and expect him to forgive you of anything? How in the world can you pick up the book and he clearly states he is the Son of God? He is God, the Son. How can you do that and then expect him to forgive you for calling him a liar? Not going to happen. Denominations like that one. And other ones. Well, we just can't believe a man becomes God. He didn't become God. He'd been God forever. I appreciate the Christmas cards and all that, but Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. Jesus Christ existed from eternity past. His name wasn't Jesus at the time. He was part of the Trinity. They didn't name him Jesus until he came as a baby. Then they didn't name him Jesus. They named him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. We know who we worship. We have zeal for who we worship. And it's not just those two we talked about. And it's not Paul just talking about the Jew here. He's saying they have a zeal for God. They're excited about religion, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of God and you know who he is and you know who Christ is and what he did to save you and you haven't accepted him as Savior and repented of your sins, I don't care how nice you are, rich you are, educated you are, good looking you are, or whatever else you are, you're going to be in hell if you are like you are. One way. Bible very clear. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Anything more than one is what? Surely y'all aren't that dumb. Anything more than one is what?
More than one.
Thank you, Miss Greenway. One of you understood. She lives with the preachers. Why she did. So what does it say? You Christians think that you're the only religion. We're not a religion. Christianity is not even a religion. Why, you've gone crazy. No, I know how to read. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
nothing to do with a religion. There are thousands of religions that mean nothing. And you got people living in caves, wearing certain outfits, doing certain gyrations, not eating certain foods, all these things they're doing, trying to achieve righteousness, and it will not work. The only way for you to be righteous is for Christ to live in you. That's what he says he will do when you accept him as Savior, that he takes up residence in your body. I don't understand that. I don't understand how they get lead and a yellow pencil either, but I still use them. Bible doesn't say we'll understand everything. You don't understand how the water opened and let 3 million Jews cross and then came back together against the Roman soldiers and drowned them all. Why, you don't really believe that happened, do you? I certainly do. Well, why do you believe that? Because the Bible said so. I believe it by faith. Well, you have no proof of that. Pardon me, now I do. The archaeologists have found out where that happened. They're deep sea diving, and they're finding wheels that were on the chariots of the horses chasing the Jews. And they're bringing them up and showing them off. Same thing happened with the walls of Jericho. Well, that's a nice story and all, but I just don't believe that the walls... Then they found the walls, and they said, bad news, they fell this way instead of that way. When it keeps proving itself, why do you, with no proof, keep doubting God's word? I never ever understood that. Got some good fishermen in here. Some of them fish for a living, or used to, and they know what to do. I went fishing, and I threw up so much, I raised the level of the ocean an ounce. And it wasn't just me, the first mate, he was sicker than I was. Yeah. At the time, I had more money than y'all pay me, okay? A lot more. And I said, turn the boat around and take me back to Wilmington. Oh, we can't do this, though. We got the charter, and I said, turn the boat around and take me to Wilmington. And they said, well, we're just not going to do that. I said, fine. Call a helicopter to come and get me, because I'm going to die if I stay on this boat. I mean, this is sick as sick. I've never seen sick like that. You'd have to die to feel better if you got seasickness. I'm telling you, some people just can't handle the waves. I got seasick on a raft out here at Bobby McGinnis's house, just floating. That's the best thing I can do, stay out of the water. I can see that now. What's that? You're not going to understand everything you read in God's Word. But you take it by faith. That's what you did when you cut your light on this morning when you got up. How did you know that if you flip that switch, it wasn't going to blow your house up? It's happened before. How'd you know when you came up here at 55 miles an hour and there's a drunk on the other lane at 60 miles an hour? When you stepped on your brake, how did you know that car was stopped? You didn't know. You took it by faith, didn't you? Because it's always stopped. It'll stop again, will it? We live a lot by faith that we don't even acknowledge. I know people that just get in a war with their wife. I mean, really bad. One of us has got to leave. Blah, 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 that kind. You've been in that. And then that idiot sits down and eats food she prepared an hour later. Man, don't ever eat food from somebody you just condemned. She'll poison you. We don't understand much at all. Our understanding compared to the understanding of the mind of God is a smidgen is too big a word. And we got people think they know as much as God do. I love the seminaries come by. I was in seminary, and I forgot the guy's name. I don't even want to know it. We'll just use Bill Johnson, right? And I'm talking to somebody, and somebody said, well, Bill Johnson is having trouble with the resurrection. I said, excuse me? Bill Johnson, he's here. He's having trouble believing the resurrection. I said, this idiot's going to be a preacher and does not believe Christ rose from the dead. Just exactly what does he intend to preach? He needs to be with the Rotary Club, good humor people. He needs to be with the motivational people. I used to do a little of that. You see? Be good, act right, blah, 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 boo, blah, boo. And, the guy who wrote How to Have Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. Some of you older folks remember him. When he died, 6 people attended his funeral. Information didn't work too good for him, did it? Okay. So people with zeal and no knowledge, you missed it. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they don't know God's perfection. And going about to establish their own righteousness. Isn't it funny that every preacher, I don't know them all, I know enough to know that most of them just delight in being called reverend. Do you know the title reverend is only mentioned once in the entire Bible, and it's directly toward the Lord Jesus Christ? You're not reverend. You're still a sinner. But God has forgiven your sins. The righteous one has covered your sins, and listen real careful, given you his righteousness. You can't attain righteousness on your own. You can't be perfect enough, good enough, correct enough, truthful enough. You just can't do it. It just isn't there. Nobody can, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's willing to take your sin and give you his righteousness. What a God. What a Savior. Do you understand a little bit now why the holiness people, and bless your heart, jump up and down and roll in the aisle every now and then and scream and holler and just can't get over it? Some of it show. I understand that. Some of it isn't. Some of it is just people that's like my little friend from the mountains there when she comes with her husband. They sit right there in front of me. And she's not playing the game. It doesn't matter what we preach. We start singing at the end. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. And tears will start flowing on her face. I can see them. And before it's over, she'll be crying like a baby. Not for show. She just fully understands to the limit of a man's understanding what Jesus did for her. And we got too many quasi-Christians. I said, what denomination are that? That's a lot of them. People playing church. People playing Christian. Having zeal with no knowledge. And I hear I had to correct somebody right out that door there that came down here and stole money from us for a while. For saying, oh my God. I said, excuse me? Do you know where you are? Well, what did I say? You just blasphemed the name of God is what you did. You just took the name of the Lord in vain is what you did. And we're teaching 3-year-olds to say it. Everybody's got a computer, has that symbol OMG on there so they can say it to each other and text it to each other, having no idea what they're doing. For this book says, God will not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain. That means taking his name in vain emptily. The name of God is righteous, is holy. And I can imagine some of these people who are going to have to stand in front of him for judgment. Say, well, you're going to have to be there. No, I'm not. I'm saved. I was judged at Calvary's cross. I was found guilty. I was condemned. And somebody said, no, I'll take his condemnation for him. Leave him alone. He's mine. That's Jesus Christ.
Thank you,
Jesus. So sometimes we get a little loud. Sometimes we get a little excited. You just have to pardon us because we're not going to stop. When I stop and sing, and hear Louis sing, and we sing at the end of each service, I'm just a sinner. Saved by grace. I don't just sing it. I said, God, I hope you're the only one that knows what I was. And now what I am through your goodness, your grace.
Hallelujah.
I hope I'm the only one that knows. And just like you, other people were involved in some of my sin and yours, and somebody else does know. Somebody else does know. And it is sad when you and I get at night, and I was talking to the mayor about it. I said, late at night in the corner in the bank, I said, I just turned 79 years of age. A lot of people I preach to have, they don't have their teeth anymore and they got white hair. It's getting late. And the next event for most of us will be held up at Lee's funeral home. And you still don't have a Savior? Where in the world do you think life's going? Do you not know it ends? Are you fooling yourself with false righteousness? Talking about a God you know not of? Talking about a Christ who lives not in you? I don't want to face that. And if you're in that position, I hope today will be the last day you're in it. And today you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 9, well, what do I do, preacher? How can I solve this? The Apostle Paul says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Well, now, I go to university and my science professor said, I know what he said. I know what he said. Go back and tell him he's lying. Okay. You can be changed. You can be forgiven. You can be raised from the dead. By the way, it wasn't just Jesus who was raised from the dead. Read the book. 500 got up, walked around, went back to their homes, it said. I have rather a strange sense of humor is that you've been here before, you know that. I'm not changing.
Amen.
But can't you see some of those people going back home after they've been dead? I mean, the man died last year and they had the funeral. Everybody was sad and rightly so. And the Bible said to mourn with those who mourn and to laugh with those who laugh. And we're supposed to do that when we lose a loved one. That's perfectly all right. But can you imagine, just imagine, a little child who lost their daddy last year And she's still grieving. She's only 4 or 5 years old. And daddy doesn't come home anymore. And she's playing in the yard and looks down the street and sees somebody walking that has a familiar gait. And as they near the house, they begin to speed up a little bit. And they get into sight, and she knows who it is. It's her daddy. And she begins to squeal and holler like some of us who really love him. We get loud when we talk about him. And says, "Daddy!" And then turns and runs to her mother and says, "Mama, Daddy's home. Daddy's back." And she's saying, "Honey, I know you miss your daddy. I know it's sad that we're having a tough time. Daddy's gone, and I understand. Come here, let me give you a hug." She said, "I don't need a hug. Daddy's home." And Mama hears footsteps coming in the house. Now holding that little baby looks up straight into the face of her husband. She cries too, like Lewis and me and my friend from West Virginia. Because God's done it again. And guess what? If the rapture doesn't happen and I go home real quick one day, at 79, I heard bad news. That's on TV the other day. Said now then the average life ends at 79. I said, "Well, thank you. What I needed here." And, you know, glad I'm not a Chinaman. They count the year you're in the womb. You'd be 80, right? And one day, when he comes, I get to see my favorite evangelist again. I get to go to heaven, and my brother will meet me at the door because he knows I'm not too bright. And he said, "Come on, I'll show you where to go." And I'm going to say, "Can I see Jesus?" "They're not right yet. You'll see him in a little bit." He said, "Well, where are we going?" He said, "I'm going to take you to Daddy. And there I'll be. And there he'll be." Shaking his head and wondering, says, "Son, we didn't know. We didn't know you'd be a preacher. It was your brother who was supposed to be a preacher. He's the one with the education. He's the one with the master's degree. He's the college professor. He's the Bob Jones University graduate. He's a straight A student. He's the one that never got in trouble and didn't give us any problems growing up. None. Absolutely none. Close to perfection as you can get. And then you came along." And I was given a report 30, 40 years ago that you were preaching the gospel. And I don't know whether I was supposed to or not. I didn't ask anybody. I just ran up and down Hallelujah Boulevard saying, "Guess what Beaver's doing?" And not many people knew who you were, but I did. And I'm so glad you're here, and we're going to be in his presence. Now come on, me and you will go and talk to Jesus. Ooh-wee. They can say, "You crazy." Well, leave me alone. I'm happier than you are. Leave me alone. And if you died today, where would you? Who would you meet? Do you know? Are you sure? Without a shadow of a doubt, if you drop dead today, do you know the next face you'd see is the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sure? That's righteousness. When he says, come home. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You don't know what rest is. You don't know what peace is. You don't know what no stress is. You don't know what happiness is. Come unto me, and I will give you everlasting life, and you will spend eternity in my presence. You haven't even begun to see my wonders. You eye has not seen and ear has not heard the wonderful things God has in store for those who love him. Well, I'd like to be a part of that. Well, why don't you? You can. The call went out to everybody. You don't have to call up, come up here. It makes no difference where you are. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior and said, I believe you are the Lord God Almighty. I believe you died for my sins, and had I been the only sinner, you'd have still done it. I had no idea anybody could love me that much, but today I know. And I repent of my sins. I'm sorry. Lord, would you please make me whole? Would you please save me? Forgive me of my sin and impart your righteousness to me. Would you please do that? And if that's your position today, you do that where you sit as we sing and pray. And today will be, whether you know it or not, the happiest day of your life. For today's the day that you became righteous because he will be living in you. Shall we pray? Come on. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to be able to call on you. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved, the book said. And Lord, we have been sinners, and still as Christians, we still fall now and then, and we have to call on you and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me of that. Make sure it's covered too by thy blood. We can't fall out because we're yours. We can't lose our salvation because it's yours, not ours. And we haven't paid for a thing, and you paid it all. And I just want to thank you today. And if there be one here or those watching the webcam, and you've never repented of your sins and asked Christ to save you, why don't you just silently pray right now? Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'll learn more about it as we go. But today, I just want to make sure I'm one of yours. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, just an old sinner saved by grace.
just a sinner, saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now sinner.